verse 12, chapter 8, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Now this is the criteria of how it is we are led by the Spirit of God now. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you receive the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Now, this has a very strong connection to Galatians chapter 4, where Paul tells us that we were put under the supervision. Even though we are sons, we were counted no better than slaves. Even though we own the whole estate, we were put under the supervision of the law to lead us into that time that we receive our heirship. And now we have received it through Jesus Christ, through faith. And so it tells you here that you're no longer a slave again to fear under the law, but you receive the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And you can see now why the Holy Spirit, the seal is given you, this portion of the Holy Spirit, the seal of your faith, why it's given to you. The Holy Spirit cries out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit we are God's children. And so you can see where our faith and confidence in the promises of God come from. They're bolstered by the Holy Spirit in you. Now, if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. So I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. Not has, will. This speaks of the resurrection of the dead. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. So understand, we are sons of God now by the Spirit through faith, but we're hidden. We've not yet been revealed or manifested. For the creation waits in expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. That revealing will be the resurrection of the dead. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, there's that seal, that Spirit by which we cry, Abba, Father, the Holy Spirit testifying with our spirit that we are God's sons. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. So you can see our salvation in these two ways, can't you? That first, the Spirit testifies with him. We've received the spirit of sonship, that spirit of adoption. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. But it tells us the revealing or the true adoption of sons is this, in verse 23. That we who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Y'all see that connection clearly? You see the two parts of your salvation. The reconciliation of your spirit first through faith, and then the redemption of your body. And that's what makes you a son of God. You are a son of God or a child of God right now by faith, but the revealing of that sonship, of that adoption, is the redemption of your body. And so it tells us in this hope, and this is the hope of the gospel, the resurrection, for in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Can you see how that works? Hope that is seen is no hope at all. So faith is the evidence of things not seen, because they haven't been revealed yet. They're only revealed when they're manifested to the body. It's the evidence of things not seen, and the substance of things hoped for. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? So, you see the point of what we mean by you don't have salvation yet. You have the promise of salvation. The first fruits of the Spirit, testifying with your spirit that you are children of God. But you've grown inwardly in that hidden place where you're waiting eagerly for your for the redemption of your body, the adoption of sons. All right? Now, we want to see a comparison to this. And one of when we start to talk about the resurrection of the dead, and as Paul starts to talk about it, in 1 Corinthians 15, he starts off in the first two verses about the resurrection. He says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you've taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you believed in vain." Can you hear it in there? Can you hear these two parts in there? Listen to it again. "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, on which you've taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word." You are saved through faith, but that faith must continue, right? To its end. And so he goes on to talk about this concerning Christ's resurrection. "For what I received, I passed on to you of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brethren at the same time, most of whom are living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all to me, as one abnormally born." So you see, the resurrection of Christ is the hinge point of this first two verses. "Brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, on which you received and on which you've taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I've preached to you. Otherwise, you believed in vain." So you see those two parts again. Now, over here in Romans chapter 5 is where we see a real, for lack of a better word, a real delineation between these two parts, a real contrast and a comparison between them. And most people, if you just read this, all you'll see is pretty words, but you've got to read for meaning. You've got to read and prayerfully read for meaning. Let's really understand what this is saying. All right? "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Think about it. How are you justified now? Through the resurrection of the dead or by faith? You will be justified through the resurrection of the dead. But right now, you are only justified through faith. Hear it, what it's saying. Faith in that sacrifice. Now, we're going to see about Jesus' two comings here. His first coming is our justification through faith. And his second coming is our redemption according to the body. His first coming is our justification through faith. And his second coming is the redemption of the body. You can see that our salvation is divided between these two bookends, his first coming and the second coming. All right? And we have his resurrection there to testify to what the second coming will be about. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." Now, there's three different stand verses I want to draw your attention to. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2. "This faith on which you've taken your stand, this gospel on which you've taken your stand," Paul says. You stand by faith. Romans 11. "The Jews fell because of disbelief and were cut out of that olive root, but you stand by faith." Don't be arrogant. Don't be arrogant. you stand by faith. And here in this one, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's what's still to come. All right? Now notice that right now what you have is peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. You have peace with God. You were reconciled to God while you were yet his enemy. The reconciliation. You're going to see that the gospel is therefore divided into these two parts of your salvation. One, the reconciliation, and two, the redemption. I want you to remember these two words because it tells you how your salvation works. Right now, you are reconciled to God through faith. Because we were all enemies of God until Jesus died for us. And his blood brings us close to God, doesn't it? It justifies us. We can stand before God not because we're righteous, but because Jesus was righteous. Because Jesus sacrificed his righteous life for us. Now, Jesus was at complete peace with God and not his enemy. And so now you can stand and have peace with God through the righteousness of Christ, while you were yet an object of wrath, while you were yet an enemy of God. God's love, we're going to see as it says here, right here in chapter 5, God's love was commended to us while we were yet sinners. And that speaks of the status of where you're at. You're still a sinner. Ooh, nobody wants to hear that, do they? But God's love is commended to you while you're still a sinner. Through faith, you are a child of God, but you still appear as a sinner. Is that not true or not? Is that true or not true? And this shows something. We have this treasure in jars of clay, in other words, the body of a sinner. Why? So that this all-surpassing power can be shown is from God and not of ourselves. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians 3. We have this treasure in jars of clay, the body of a sinner. The body of Adam, dust. And you've got to make that connection. That you have this treasure. What is that treasure? The Holy Spirit. Let me read this to you in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to make a connection about how Christ loved you while you were yet a sinner. How his love is commended to you while you're yet a sinner. Before you appear in this salvation through the resurrection of the dead, while you're still hidden in this darkness, that's the Spirit hidden inside this body of death. That's how it's represented. The Spirit is hidden in this body of death. All right, 2 Corinthians 4. But we have this, it goes on, it says, for we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. Verse 4, 2 Corinthians 4. For God said, let light shine out of darkness. The light of Christ is shining out of the darkness of your flesh, your unredeemed flesh. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts. How is that light shining in your heart? That's where the Holy Spirit is. His Spirit is joined with your Spirit, right? That light is shining in your hearts to make the word plain, to make it clear. He made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure, the Holy Spirit, in jars of clay, the body of Adam, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. You see it? That's why salvation is done this way. To testify unto God for his glory. So you have this treasure right now in a jar of clay. Now going back to what we've read in chapter 5, keep that in mind, how you have this treasure in a jar of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not of yourself. You have the Holy Spirit, the righteousness of God, you have that portion of the Spirit in you, that seal, to in this body of darkness, this body of Adam, this body of dust, this treasure in a jar of clay, to testify that this all-surpassing power is from God and not of yourself. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope, and hope doesn't disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That's that treasure, isn't it? He has poured out His love into your hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely would anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since now we have been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? So now you're justified by His blood. Your faith that has gained you access into this grace in which you now stand is in Jesus' sacrifice. So you're justified by His blood. But are you saved yet? You're saved through faith. The Holy Spirit is rejoicing with your spirit, saying you are a child of God. That is that light shining out of darkness. That is that treasure in this jar of clay. But the jar of clay has not been redeemed. You've been justified now through faith. And if you have been justified now through faith, how much more will you be saved through His life, through the fact that He rose from the dead? How much more will you be saved? You see it? You see, just at the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. So you have this treasure in the jar of clay. You have the Spirit of the living God in the body of Adam, that body of dust. And it shows that this all-surpassing power at work in you isn't of yourself. It's of God, that you couldn't produce it. That's what's being shown. And this is the purpose of why it's done in this way. So it goes on. But God demonstrates His own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So now we have been just, since now we've been justified by His blood, that sacrifice, we're reconciled to God, aren't we? How much more shall we, will we be saved from God's wrath through Him? That's the resurrection. We'll be saved from God's wrath. 4. Now listen to this closely and you see it all. For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, our spirits, through faith, shall we be saved through His life, the resurrection of the dead? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom now we have received the reconciliation. So what is it that we have received of salvation right now? We have received now that reconciliation. Listen to it again. Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And that's what it means at the beginning, where we had peace with God. We have peace with God now through that reconciliation of our spirits through faith. That treasure in our hearts, that treasure in this jar of clay. The jar of clay is not redeemed. But that treasure is the Holy Spirit in you, as it tells you here, that God's love is commended to us while you're yet a sinner. God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And it tells us that now that because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. So God dwells by His Spirit in you with your spirit in this jar of clay. But the jar of clay is not yet redeemed. The jar of clay is Adam's body. You now have the Spirit of Christ with Adam's body. And it testifies that this all-surpassing power is from God and not of yourself. You need to see that. And if we have now been justified in that way, how much more will we be saved through His life? If the portion of God's promise in you by the Holy Spirit is your reconciliation to God, where you can come to enter in and come to know Him. How much more will you be saved if you continue in this grace? Can you see these two parts of your salvation? The reconciliation and the redemption. This is bottom line understanding for Christianity. And it shows you that this is a process that we are receiving, not have received. We are receiving the goal of our faith, the salvation of our souls, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 1. You are receiving the goal of your faith. Your faith has a goal. The reconciliation of your spirit is the hope of the reconciliation of your body, the redemption. Right now we have that Spirit of Christ. Let's go back to Romans 8 so you can see it clearly. Right now, you know, first you have the Spirit of Christ testifying with your spirit that you are God's child, that spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. But the adoption of sons is the redemption of the body. Amen?